Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
Right, the door is locked. There's no way out.
All right, now back in making his fourth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Matt Cushing. Let me remind you about Matt's background. He is from South Bend, Indiana, played his college ball at the University of Illinois, where he was an academic All-Big Ten player. In 1995, he received the Bruce Capel Award for being their most courageous player. He was an undrafted free agent signed by the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1998, and he played in the NFL from 98 to 2004, all in Pittsburgh. And we're excited to have him back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Matt, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back, Matt, on the show.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for having me.
Matt, I want to start by going back to your days at the University of Illinois. We had the privilege of having one of your teammates, Johnny Johnson Jr., on the show a couple of weeks ago. Talk about your memories of playing alongside Johnny.
Sure. Johnny was, I tell you what, heck of an athlete, heck of a quarterback. And, you know, we had some fun times at Illinois. Didn't win as many football games as he would have hoped or I would have hoped when we were together. But he was, he could do a lot of things. I mean, he was athletic as heck, could scramble, this was before the RPO offenses that are so popular now, but he was, one of those triple threat quarterbacks that really gave another dimension to the offense. So, great memories of playing with Johnny.
And Matt, like I mentioned in your intro, you were presented with the Bruce Capel Award at Illinois as the team's most courageous player. It had to mean a lot to you to be recognized like that.
Absolutely. Anytime you're able to get an award like that, given to you by your coaches, that's just an incredible honor, recognition of the hard work and everything that goes into being a college football player. You know, that being a college football player and a student athlete is hard, period. And then going through a couple of injuries and was able to overcome that. So being able to be recognized, by my coaches, that was pretty special to me.
And you carried that over into the NFL because you didn't make the Steelers roster your first go round. I believe, as you've mentioned in the past, they cut you, I think, six times. Talk about being persistent and motivated to come back year after year to make the team.
Yeah, they did. They cut me six times over six seasons. I didn't make an opening day roster out of training camp until it took me three times to do that. I knew early on that was going to be my journey. I was a bubble guy. I was a guy that was going to have to fight, scratch, and claw to make a roster, to make the team. And then when the opportunity came, you had to be willing, and able to step in and take advantage of it. And that's really how my whole career went. I made the roster because I could fill in at fullback. I'll never forget, Coach Mike Mularkey. He was the tight end coach at the time. And, our one and two fullbacks, John Whitman and Dan Kreider, both went down with injuries the first day of camp, I think it was. And, he came in and said, "Hey, would you like to, we're looking for somebody to play some backup fullback. Would you like to learn fullback?" "Absolutely." "Is it going to get me on the field? Is it going to give me an opportunity to be here and be on the roster?" "Absolutely. Tell me what I need to do." And that's, quite honestly, that's what kept me around as long as it did, as long as I was able to hang on, was I could fill multiple spots on that roster. I could be on game day, I could be the number two fullback and the number two or number three tight end. In the tight roster, game day roster world of the NFL, that was valuable. So, it comes down to, again, I cut a number of times, in season, preseason, you name it, it happened, but, that's something I'm really proud of, being able to stick with it, be able to get 6 years out of it, make some great friendships along the way, have some great experiences. I mean, AFC Championship game twice, game away from the Super Bowl, and, really had a phenomenal experience, with one of the best organizations, not just in pro sports, but I think, in the whole business world.
And Matt, talk about just learning the the playbook. I mean, you're coming in as a tight end, and then they approach you to play fullback. Talk about learning your assignments and you know, differentiating between the two positions. That had to be a lot to go back and then, you know, study the playbook a second time around to figure out where you were supposed to be as a fullback on top of where you were supposed to be when you were playing tight end.
Sure. Well, yeah, I've always said that I think the former players that make the best offensive coordinators are either quarterbacks or tight ends, because those are the guys that have to learn the entire offense. They have to learn the run game. They have to learn the pass game. They have to learn pass protection. They have to learn the blocking schemes. They have to learn, you know, what the route trees and the route combinations. So fortunately, there was a lot of crossover between tight end and fullback. And a lot of times, you know, when you go to a two tight end set, you pull that fullback out and that tight end would come in as the, you know, the would basically be treated as a fullback. We always call them the F who would come in. So there's a lot of crossover, fortunately. Now when you go in there as a true fullback, that's where I saw the learning curve. You know, instead of lining up at a wing by the tight end, going in motion, and some of those things, you know, lining up in the true eye backfield or the strong or the weak backfield, and, you know, putting your hand on the ground and trying to make your way through the offensive line blocking. That's what was new for me. So it wasn't so much learning the plays. It was just a completely different angle of attack for those assignments. And, you know, I was fortunate. I mean, you know, Coach Dick Hoke was the running back coach at the time, phenomenal coach, had a couple of great fullbacks, you know, again, Whitman and Kreider, always willing to help. And then you had guys like Jerome Bettis and, you know, just some phenomenal guys in the backfield, always willing to give you pointers and you know, make sure that you got any questions, you got them answered. And, you know, shoot, just get up there, go hard, and good things happen. And that's, you know, kind of the approach I took.
Bob, questions for Matt?
Hey, Matt, it's great to speak with you again. And Chris had mentioned in the introduction being an academic All-American and just the academic prowess and everything. Matt, was that something that was imparted upon you as a youth by people in your life? Was it just something you had naturally? And obviously, you probably were glad, and you used it throughout your life. And just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, academics were always important in my family. My parents instilled that early on. My mom was a teacher, so that also gave that extra little poke to be sure. But, you know, they were always willing to sit down and help with homework and make sure that, you know, if we had questions or need some help, that they were there to help and support myself and my brother. So academics were important early on, and it was always impressed upon me. You know, if you don't take care of your schoolwork, we're not going to let you play sports. So if you want to stay on the field, make sure your grades are good. Make sure your grades are up. And to my parents, grades being up wasn't, just getting by with C's. It was making sure that you're getting mostly A's, and a B's okay as long as you're giving your best effort. So that was important early on. And, really helped me throughout, you know, my entire career, you know, and I tell my kids, I tell kids that I coach, you know, that I saw plenty of people, plenty of athletes, plenty of football players that were 10 times the athlete that I was, but they weren't able to continue playing because they didn't take care of their academics. So, you know, that's something that, you know, if you can teach that early, if you can have that importance early on, it really can get ingrained in you and really help carry you through life. And I took the same approach at college. You know, I started off in civil engineering, ended up switching and getting an urban planning degree. But I got my degree while I was there at U of I and you know, all those lessons, applying yourself, being able to focus and get things done when you've got multiple things on your plate. You know, you come home from practice, you're tired, you got to get it done. You know, that's you got to get your homework done. And you guys know that's the way the world is. And it serves me well now today. I run my own business. I've got a great family with three kids. And I coach them in different sports. And so we're we're running all over the place, but you know, those same priorities, the priority of, hey, you know, this has got to get done when it's got to get done. So it's something that again, you know, my parents ingrained that in me and was able to carry that through college and still use a lot of those lessons today, raising my kids and running my business. So it's, that's a perfect example of how sports teach phenomenal lessons, about life. Now that, how it transfers over to life.
Now you mentioned Mike Mularkey, some of the other coaches that you had when you entered the league, Tim Lewis, Kevin Gilbride, a guy from up this area, Jim Hazlitt. That was a great staff. And of course, Cower. Now Cower was always, he was always kind of considered a defensive minded coach. How involved was he in the offense when you got there, Matt? And, how were your dealings with him?
Sure. You know, I think I don't want to say he was hands off on offense. He definitely gave his input and had things that he wanted to do and situations that he wanted to do certain things, but he let his offensive coaches, you know, put their game plans together and put their schemes together and then would give his input as a head coach, that, you know, as that's his prerogative, his ability as a head coach to be able to do that. So, you know, and he was always, you know, I'm sure you've heard people describe him as a player's coach and, you know, classic. He was not a player's coach because he was easy on guys. He was a player's coach because he knew how to push guys hard, when to pull back on guys, when to motivate them by yelling at them, when to motivate by patting them on the back and really, you know, making a very stressful profession, a difficult profession, making it fun. And, that was, I think, something that I'd really take away from playing for Bill was, you know, he just had a knack to know when to push, when to pull, when to lay off. And you couldn't help but get excited on game day when you saw how fired up he was, you know, with that jaw sticking out, spit flying everywhere and you know, getting excited because of a big play on offense or a big play on defense or special teams. And so it was, you know, again, a great opportunity to play for a great coach.
Matt, the story of your lone touchdown that you scored in the NFL is such a great one. There's a tie-in with your brother, your buddies back in Chicago, a guy who would later become your roommate with the Steelers. Do you mind sharing that story?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was my lone touchdown was against the Detroit Lions, and my brother and a bunch of his friends had come out for the weekend, came out and watched our practice on Saturday. He was getting into coaching at the time, and so he wanted to really check out practice and see what was going on. So he and his friends, a couple of guys, came out, checked us out in practice, and then obviously went to the game and caught a play action rollout from Cordell Stewart. And you know, my brother pointed out that he saw that in practice. He saw me catch the same play in practice on Saturday, and to see it transfer into the game, thought that was really cool. But you know, my a couple of years later, Clint Krewalt, who was a linebacker, ended up being a linebacker for the Steelers. He was my roommate in training camp and on when we traveled for road games when he came to the Steelers. And we were sitting before, one of the preseason games. And he asked me, said, "Hey, have you ever scored a touchdown?" Said, "Yeah, actually, I scored one." And I looked at him. I said, "And it was against the Detroit Lions." And he turned and he looked at me and he said, "Yeah, that was me." And so it was just kind of funny that I never realized it until we were sitting there in the room one night. But, yeah, sure enough, he was the linebacker assigned to cover me and you know, gave up the only touchdown in my career. So funny how it's a small world and things come full circle sometimes.
Indeed. Matt, everybody is picking against the Steelers for Sunday night's game, including my partners here on the show. I seem to be the Lone Ranger, and you know I'm from Pittsburgh and a huge Steelers fan, so there's no way I was picking against them. What do you think has to happen in order for them to come out on top Sunday night?
You know, it's tough to beat a team twice. It's tough to beat a team twice in a season. So I like the odds of the Steelers. you know, they got to come out. They got to play. Obviously, Kansas City's a heck of an offense, and they've got a ton of weapons. So they have their work cut out for them. They're missing some guys the first time they played them. It was an ugly game, and I think Coach Tomlin will have everybody fired up, ready to go. You know, like I said, they've got their work cut out for them, but being somebody twice in one season, you know, and this close together, that's tough to do in the NFL. So I like the Steelers. I like, TJ Watt being back, getting after the guys. And, yeah, I like Ben putting something together with, for a last ditch run here. So I'm with you. I'm picking Steelers. I'm thinking 27-24.
There you go.
There's no way I could go again.
Right. Matt, going all the way back to your days in high school at Mount Carmel, you guys won a couple of state championships when you were there. You were student council president, and you were inducted into their Hall of Fame. Talk about what it's like being recognized by your high school alma mater.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was a couple of years ago, and that's, you know, to me, was a tremendous honor because of so many great people that I went to high school with. It was a tremendous honor to be selected to the Mount Carmel Hall of Fame. It's a tremendous school with a great tradition. Just some of the people that I played with. I played with Donovan McNabb. He was my quarterback and a year younger than me. A year older than me was Simeon Rice. We've got some, you know, incredibly successful business people, that have come from Mount Carmel. And so it's an incredible institution. And so to be able to be, you know, listed in their Hall of Fame with some of those people, you know, that was one of the highlights of my life. And it was really, really, really a great night. Saw a lot of old friends and, a lot of old classmates that came out to support me that night. So it really is a great honor, you know, tremendous institution and to be part of it is be part of their Hall of Fame is really, you know, really, an incredible honor for me.
Matt, before we let you go, remind our listeners what you're doing now and how we can stay up to date with you, whether it's online or it's on social media.
Sure. Yeah. I own a dental lab, in the Chicagoland area. So what we do is we make crown and bridge work, implants, dentures, parcels, those type of things for dentists. We work with dentists throughout the country. So, it's kind of a cool little business. We've been growing it. I've been doing it for about 15 years now. It's called First Choice Dental Lab. You can find us at firstchoicelab.com. I'm on, social media. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook. I'll be honest. I'm not a big Instagram or Twitter type of guy, but firstchoicelab.com and, love to see if there's anybody out there that we could help out.
Well, Matt, can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. It's always fun spending time with you. We hope you'll come back and do it again soon.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Let me know. It's a great show, and I appreciate you guys having me on. And as always, go Steelers.
There you go. Take care, Matt. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Take care.
You too. That's a great Matt Cushing. And Bob, I tell you, he's another great story. A guy, like I say, you know, got cut six times. And, you go back to his time in college with the Courage Award and the things that he did, just a gritty, gutty, going to do whatever it takes, like you said, to get on the field. Did he play fullback? Sure. Is that going to get me on the field? I'm in. I love that about Matt.
Selfless guy, Chris. And, you know, just listening to him talk, you know, he's very, very erudite fella. I mean, you could tell education was important to him, but the way he described the tight end position, it's like you and I have talked about for years. You know, those are some of the most talented guys in football teams and most intelligent. And, he was a great example of one right there tonight.
Yeah, he was. And I know how much you love the tight end. And, Matt's a gritty, gutty guy and a lot of fun and a lot of great stories. And we'll hope we're privileged enough to get Matt back on the show again soon. We've got our next guest, Leroy Irvin, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Leroy right on the other side of this real quick station break.